Simin Shinpei Beis, Seif Katan Hey, it's on page 500. Nice number. Right in page 500. Okay, so Simin, we learned yesterday about that we had that terminology from the Mishnah, a Schirus Chalusha and a Schirus Briya. A strong Schirus, a weak Schirus, the Schirus that we do with the non-Jew to allow ourselves to carry in the courtyard does not need to be done with an expensive lawyer. It can be done by giving him a few dollars, and you don't even need to tell him what you're doing. You have to know what you're doing. I'm giving you money because I want to rent space here in the courtyard, and you don't have to explain to him all the details. As long as you know what you're doing, that's sufficient. And you do not need to write it down on paper, and you can do it. Now we're going to learn halacha hey, sif hey. Another halacha, you can even rent for less than a pruta. There's a big question today in halacha among the poskim: what is a pruta in modern times? Modern times, do we follow the basic disagreement in the modern? This has an application right here. Fasting application is a pruta mean the smallest coin in the medina, dina de malchus dina. So whatever the smallest coin the medina uses is called a pruta. In the United States, it happens to be the smallest coin is a penny. And the United States is very upset with the penny. It's nostalgic. It costs more to produce the penny than the penny.
Makes no sense.
It costs more to produce a penny than a penny is worth, but that is the smallest coin. Now, if you make a calculation, going back to time of Chazal, we have the Ma. I'm not prepared to go through the calculation every so often. Come to the Gemara. I used to make the calculations. Just learn the Gemara, make the calculations. Have different sheets, a shekel and a sela, all the different terms that are used in the Torah, used by Chazal. And there's a Ma and a Pundyoin in different sets, Eretz Yisrael. It comes out that a pruta is based upon silver, a certain silver. And the price of silver today is fixed. It's price of, so when you go and you match up the price of silver, I mean, it fluctuates. Every day.
Silver is what, did you say?
I take it back. But the silver, every single day fluctuates. You go online, and you have a little ticker, and the price of silver goes up, goes down.
It's measurable.
It's measurable. And you can take that, if you want to use that as your base, as your starting point to figure out a pruta, so we use the Jewish coins of a sela, a ma, a pundion, and a pruta, and if it's based on the value of silver, so it comes out today that a pruta would be something between 5 and 10 cents. That's what the result, the price of silver changes every single day, but it would come out to be between 5 and 10 cents. So if that's the case, the last I checked, maybe, I don't know, I'm following the price of silver. You always hear the commercial gold on the radio. They're obsessed. Buy gold. They listen to the radio. You've got to be mind listening to those commercials nonstop. You know, they were right, though. You know, if you listened to them 5 years ago, you would be a very wealthy person today. But in any event, the price of silver, pruta would then be between 5 and 10 cents. But if you learn that a pruta means the smallest coin in the medina, so then even though today a penny would be called a pruta. Let's say you have less than a shava pruta. How could you have something less than a shava pruta? So I guess doing food, you're dealing with a piece, I don't know, a kernel of grain, a little teeny piece of morsel of bread, whatever it is. It's less than what would be considered a pruta, whether a pruta is a penny or a pruta is 10 cents. Can you use that to rent rights from the goy to carry in your courtyard on Shabbos? So that, it says here in the Mechaber, yes. Why? Now, when it comes to a Jew, anytime you need to buy something from a Jew, there's no such thing as anything less than a pruta with regard to a Jew. This is a fundamental difference in money matters between a Jew and a goy. A non-Jew is machshif, according to the way of the Jewish difference. A non-Jew values money. Money is so valuable to him, even less than a pruta has meaning, has significance. If a non-Jew steals from a Jew something that's worth less than a pruta, the Gemara says he's chayiv misa. I mean, it's pretty serious business. Less than a pruta. If a Jew steals from his friend something that's worth less than a pruta, he's potter. He's exempt. He doesn't. There's no mitzvah of a heshiv es hagzil. Why? Because the victim, the one who the money has been stolen from, does not consider it that he really lost something. Because a Jew has other values in life. Torah and mitzvahs. There are more serious things in this world to think about and to be occupied. Money is very important, obviously. But less than a pruta, it's not worth your time. You might as well go to shul and daven. You'll have much more satisfaction in davening than making yourself crazy over less than a pruta. A guy doesn't have those experiences in life. All he has is the money. And therefore, for him, it's worth to go and fight over less than a shav a pruta. I'm not talking about principle. People argue they'll kill each other over principle of the matter, but when you put the principle of the matter away, you're dealing with the actual monetary value, then the halach is only the neputa. So here the Mechaber says, since for a goy, so here it's very interesting. Yeah, very, it's a fascinating halacha. We're dealing with a Jew and a goy, and the Jew needs to do schiras smaka. So lechayra, if the Jew is serious about this, he should be required to give a pruta, even though to the goy less than a pruta is significant. So what? The Jew has to... Who is this takana for? For the guy. The takana is for the Jew. The Jew here is going, carrying from his home to the Rishus, to a courtyard. It resembles carrying from a Rishus Sayach to a Rishus Aravim, and that's problematic. Chazal required Nehru V'chatzeres. They require here Schiras Rishus. So in order that you should feel accomplished and satisfied, you would expect Chazal to say, pay a significant amount of money to the guy to rent his rishus, so you feel as if you have accomplished something, and now it's one, it's all your rishus, and I'm going from a rishus hayachet to a rishus hayachet, not going from a rishus hayachet to a rishus. If I give the guy less than a shavapruta, even though he's on cloud nine, he is unbelievable. Wow, I just won the lottery. As far as I'm concerned, it's a joke.
I have to demonstrate.
That's what you would expect, right? Isn't that something that's very logical? That's what you would expect, because who is that corner for? For who? For you, the guy. For you. You're not trying to satisfy the guy. You couldn't care less about the guy. You're the one who's carrying from Rosh Yochel to Rosh Hashanah. Yet it's fascinating that Chazal were lenient. They said, being that this is only a gezer midraban takana, it's enough.
But
yeah.
You have a rule. So Hashem cares about the money in Israel, right?
Correct.
So maybe Hashem does want you to get away with maybe
that's the fact, and why the whole takana is the takana derabban. It's not the takana deraisa. Chosse Hakadosh Baruch Hu on the moyim shal Yisrael. The mizbeach, the mizoliyah from the kelim, the beis hamikdash doesn't have to be gold and silver. All these things. But still, if once Chazal are enacting a takana, you would expect them to go all the way. There's a balance. Okay, there's a balance. Yet,
I said, it's not Zekeli Abel, a nice menorah, a nice shul.
It's not a matter of Zekeli Abel, it's a matter of a...
Compared to Kedusha, for example. No, but
there it's two Jews.
No.
There it's two Jews.
Okay, so, all right, but that's the...
Okay, but here it's a very interesting halacha. You're dealing with the Jew and the goy, and the takan is for the Jew, and the takan is not for the goy, and yet Chazal were extremely lenient and did not require the schiras apruta. Soichin mimenu yehudi afilu vachtsu apruta, period. Another chiddush. Umotu liskar mimenu b'shabbos. That's an incredible because you're doing over your business transaction on Shabbos? You're allowed to conduct business on Shabbos, yet it says here it is okay, you can do this even on Shabbos. Let's see over here Chaf Aleph. What does it say in Chaf Aleph? Look at Mishaputa. Look at Sifkan Chaf Aleph. Hatam, Dilgabi Akum, Choshev Mammon. The Ben Noach Nereg, I told you before that the Ben Noach is killed if he steals less than Shabbaputa. Avil Mishrael, and here to Liska, Men of Shus, Lemani, Vashaputa. We know that a Jew requires at least a Puta. Okay, Bishabbos, next Mishnah Bura. Shein She'enoi Schirus Vados. He goes back to that same principle. Why are you allowed to do this on Shabbos? It's a business transaction. Why did we learn above yesterday that you can do this? It's a schiras chalusha. It's weak. Why are you allowed to do this? The reason he says is, it's not a real schiras. Vados Elo Kibitul Rishos Veheker Ba'alma. Those are very powerful words. He reveals a whole, you saw, you learned the simon, Shinpei Beis. It's a very long simon, a lot of halachas. And the Mishnah from the very beginning is telling us, don't be fooled. When it says here the word Schiris 100 times in this simon, it's not really Schiris. First he told us yesterday that it's a Schiris Chalusha, it's weak. Now he goes further and he says, it's not even that. It's not a Schiris Vados, it's Bitul Rishos. It's just a way of it's the version, the guy's way of relinquishing his rights in the courtyard. The heker ba'alma. Three terms: schiris chalusha, ena schiris vados, heker ba'alma. He's playing around with words, playing around with words to completely downgrade the essence of this schiris. Another thing, the important thing when it comes to the schiris, you don't have to give money. You can give food, a call, dover. Now, by the way, these are things that are very practical. How in the world are you going to rent from the guy his rishus on Shabbos with money? Money is muktzah. Mm-hmm. Chazal, they lifted the rules of muktzah to do this? Of course not. Food, give him food or give him something which is not muktzah. A call, dover, hamutu, lotalkov, inmuloy, ze avurskar. Period. Avomos, of course, also lotaltel. Okay, let's go to the next sif. Kolz man she'ein ha'in yehudi choyzer boy moil haschirus. How long does this schirus last? For years? For months? For weeks? You make the air. Now remember, we generally renew the air once a year. So it appears there's no need. There's no bracha when you do schirus. Okay, that's an interesting point. You don't make a bracha. You make the air of. Asher kiddushon b'mitzvah sinsonu al mitzvahs eruf. You make a bracha, and you do make the bracha. You should make the bracha once a year. Once a year at the Shabbos before Pesach, you renew the eruf, and you bring in your friend, and you pick up the bag, and you learn the halacha, and again, all the wholesome later on describing you make the bracha. But the bittul rishus, you never do. You never make a bracha, and the schirus, there is no bracha, and the schirus can be done once forever. Once, you never need to renew the schirus, as long as the guy does not back out. Calls man she'ein ein yudi choizer by moil haschirus va'afilu lizman mirube, even for a very long time. Let's see the Mishnah Berurah Chav Dalid. Kevan shaloi perajman b'schirus mahani calls man she'ein choizer ha'akam b'feirush. Aval im roitz anachu liach lachz b'miyad. But if the guy for some reason says no more, enough, I don't want you to be whatever you, this hocus pocus that you were doing with me, I got scared about. Someone came and advised him, you know, some anti-Semite told him, don't let the Jews, anything that they do, don't let them, they gave you money in order to carry the courtyard, what are you doing? Tell them that you, enough, Atkan. He can do that, and then you're in trouble. After immediately, the kevon shalohiskeloi elabistam, because the situation we're going to go here is where you did not specify a time. You just said you tell the non-Jew, listen, we want to carry the courtyard, there are rules of the Sabbath, and we have to be one big happy family, and the way we join together among ourselves, we give bread among. But for you, you're a non-Jew, you're not a member, so we are required by Jewish law to rent your space in the courtyard. And that way you'll be like one with us. You explain it to him the best that you can. He doesn't have to understand it. Either do you. Either do you. What?
I don't think that was too convincing of a sale right there.
Course. Whatever. Oh, okay, I'm not a salesman. I'm sorry.
You're a second.
Okay. Okay, so whatever the case is, he doesn't have to be so happy with it. It's okay. It's okay as long as he gets... And you don't specify a time. As long as... Don't ask, don't tell. As long as he doesn't, how long is this for? Yes, forever. Forever. Oh, yes, with the sun. Yes, that's the next simon. We're going to come to that in a few moments. We're going to come to that. Yes, you do. But as long as you don't specify a time, that's the best. That has, it's a maila and a chasaran. The maila is it never needs to be renewed. The chasaran is, and if this guy gets stubborn, and in the middle he says, Ad kan, you're not nice to me. You know, some guy in the various, they get sensitive, you insult them, you don't say good morning to them, finished. You finish, there's no mechil. A Jew, you don't say good morning to a Jew, all right, so you can make it up. Eventually.
Next Shabbos.
Next Shabbos. A guy, you know, you can never make it up. So, it depends. Some Jews also you can never make it up, but whatever. But any event, let's say the guy says, I don't want anymore. He didn't say good morning to me. That's it, it's over. It's over. There's no contract. It's over. That is the downside of not specifying a zman. He can say no more. Let's go further. But now, what the Ramah? The Ramah, the top line. If the guy wants to back out, he has to return the money. Now, I don't know exactly what the arrangement is. It's not really clear what the arrangement is, how much money. Let's see the Mishnah very quickly. If he has to give the money, he has to do a mice. He has to do a mice to show no more. But if the Baharbe Cholkim al Zegim Shmuel says, "Well, the Vayim Yochel Ba'akum Lachsa Chasham Shoyna, Afilu Beloy Chazor Asdamim." They came the Loy Perish Lakam Shabbos. So Yochel Loy Malo Kivati El Al Shabbos Echad. The guy can say to the Jew that the money that you gave me has expired. You gave me a dollar, and you were doing what you wanted to do for 10 years. What do you think? You think that $1 is going to last you more than 10 years? I'm not giving back one penny, no more. Whatever you were doing, whatever hocus pocus you were doing here in the courtyard, because I have my consent, no more. I don't give you permission. And I'm not giving you back one penny. I took a dollar, that's enough. A dollar for 10 years is enough. A guy has the right to say that, according to the psak of the Mishnah Berurah. Next halacha, Zayin. Im schoroi men Yehudi lezman yidua. The flip side. Let's say the guy rent, you make a contract. I'm giving you a dollar for 10 years. 10 years, 10-year contract. No signing on the dotted line. It's an agreement, a verbal agreement. And then l'chsheyich lehazman. So then, what's the downside? What's the disadvantage? You have a 10-year contract. When 10 years are up, better remember this. You have to do it again. You have to renew the contract. And not only that, it's very interesting. It says over here that it's a very weird complication. You have to renew the eruv as well. Fascinating. You have a 10-year contract. Let's say you have a court. You make the eruv every eruv Pesach. That's the minute. Every Erev Pesach, you renew the Erev. And you make a contract with the guy, and the guy says, we'll have this Bitl Rishchivus for 5 years, and it's going to end January 1st, December 31st. When the ball drops, in 5 years from now, because it's a guy, that's his calendar, he doesn't know from Erev Pesach. When the ball drops, December 31st, January 1st, that's when the contract ends, and that's when you have to give me more money. If you want to renew, I want another crisp $20 bill. That's what I want. So, fine. So December 21st, December Parashas, whatever, Parashas Yigash, that Shabbos, you have to make a new Eruv Chatzeros as well. You know, I can't wait until Erev Pesach, because now the whole Erev is no good. Since when the Bidl Rishus becomes bottled, the Erev is bottled. That's what it says in the Mechaber. It's a very important halacha. You have to make a new Erev, the Ein Erev Rishon Chozer V'Neyar. After you do Schir second time, that does not automatically reinstate the old Erev. The Erev has to be renewed. Isn't that incredible? Very chumrah. Tremendous chumrah. Let's see the Mishnah Berurah. Mishnah Berurah Zayin Chavav. L'chshich lehazman. Even if it's not charata, the me'el, the spatel, schirus hamishayna, because that the time is up. Upash dafil v'miyam lo yakum shu misratze gam alabah mishu is a chiddush. Let's say the guy, it's December 31st, and he says, "Oh, we have to renew the contract." The Jew says to the non-Jew, "We have to renew the contract tomorrow. Tomorrow, January 1st, off from work. I'll come over. You'll give me $20." So the guy says, "You know what? Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. You're good to me. You're a good neighbor. We can do. You don't have to give me another $20. We can continue the contract automatically for another 5 years, another year, whatever it is. No good. Doesn't work. Since the original stipulation was for 5 years, and it's going to expire, even if the guy says it can automatically be renewed without doing anything, it's no good. You have to do a new Maisa Schirus.
You have to pay him?
Yeah. Of course.
Even though the guy
waves the fee, you gotta, it's not called schiros. You gotta give him something. I'm not so sure that would work. You have to give money. Now we discuss your case. Your case was when the guy dies. Let's say you rent from the guy and the guy dies. That if the guy dies, then the contract is terminated automatically. Even though the contract was for 10 years, it's only 5 years, too bad.
Renew it with the yardship.
So can the guy,
exactly,
can the guy give you back, he takes the money, because you tell him, look, I need to give you money, and he says, you know, I don't need this money. All right, give it to me, I accept it, but I'm giving it back to you.
Definitely, of course. Yeah, that's how you do it. You do it like, yeah, of course, that, of course, that's a gift. It's a gift, of course. But you have to do a physical mindset of giving mamish, give him the money. Look, you do the other way around, but you do the other way around with, when you do... You sell the chametz to the guy, right? Remember, you're selling the chametz. So who should be paying for the chametz?
The guy,
right? Doesn't that make sense? My father used to do mechir. My father had a very large mechir of chametz every year. He had his own shtayel. But how does it start out? How do you start out? Remember, the guy is buying the chametz. He's buying in Eretz Yisrael. They sold the Rabbanut, who knows, millions of dollars of chametz, whole country's chametz to one guy. Who was the guy? Who was the guy in the news? The guy he bought the. So he's buying the chametz. He should be paying the money, right? He's paying. And the way it works is the guy gives a down payment. He, let's say Luyitzu, the chametz is worth $10,000. You have a stama shul, right? You have average shul. And everyone's selling the Rabbi the chametz. You don't really know what it's worth. It can be worth this. A liquor, schnapps, maybe some people, they give over their stocks and companies. There's a whole question if you have to do that. So a shayla, some do, some don't. But let's say someone owns a restaurant and has expensive chametz. Okay, chametz gomer, some are makbe not to sell chametz gomer, chametz nuksha, whatever it is. Lu yitzui, this $10,000 worth of chametz can be sold to the guy. The guy pays $10,000. Well, what does he do? He gives a down payment. I'll pay now $50. I own the entire, all the chametz, and there's a balance. I owe you $9,950. I owe it to you. I'll take out a mortgage. I owe you that money right now, but I purchased the chametz with a down payment of $50. Everything else, it'll be basically a loan. Now, so the guy should give at least $50, right? And the guy will have to one day pay the other $9,950. How does Mechiras Chametz start? When the Rav brings the guy in, Mr. Guy, how are you? Oh, I want to give you a very... thank you for coming. Let me give you a gift. Here's $200. It's a gift. $200 gift. I'll give you a handkerchief and a scarf. These are our gift to you. Our gift. Pick up the money. Makes the key. It's his money. It's his scarf. You know, we want to sell you the chametz. We're going to make 7 kinyanim, 7 different transactions, because we're very nervous. We want to make sure that according to Jewish law and secular law, everything we do today is kosher. And we don't know what it's worth. When the holiday is over, we'll send out professionals to evaluate the chametz. But in the meantime, we could assume it's worth probably a couple $1,000. So, but right now, all we want you to give a down payment. So, you know, $50 would be acceptable. $50. So, where does the guy get the $50 to pay? Exactly, from the 200. And what? The 200. So he gives you the $50. Exactly. And the other $150 he keeps. Because that's, you know, the first time that he came over here. So you give him the money to give you. So you're talking about over here, what was your question? I'll give you the money back. It gets a lot worse than that. It's when the Jew gives the money to the guy for the rent. But over here, I'm just giving you an example of that's how it's done. That's,
definitely, the guy came up with all the money at the end of the time, you know.
The guy keeps it. It's his, 100%. If the guy at the end says, I want the liquor. I want it. And I'm willing to pay. We'll send professional evaluators. They go down the shtar, and they go from house to house. Here are the cabinets. Here's the chametz. How much is it worth? A schnapps bottle that's open. How much is the open schnapps bottle worth? $5. Some people, I don't know, maybe more for some people. Depends where you go. It's worth, I want it. I want it. Here's the money. It's his. Even according to it, it's secular law. Yeah, they shine stars. Serious. I told you it's different stories. The guy didn't come to me. He didn't want to see anyone shine the star. I scared him. I mamash scared him to the point where he after explaining to him 20 minutes, explaining to him exactly how this works, what it's all about. And he says to me, you know, I don't want to sign. I'm too nervous. And he gets up and he walks out. I scared him. I was very happy. I mean, it's shmishpa. Okay, it's not. This wasn't like a very religious person. I was happy that at least I impressed upon him that this is a real thing. This is a real transaction.
And your father feels that.
My father was. I don't think I told him. I never told him. What?
He loses customers.
You got to avoid
that person. Those type of people. They don't know that you're supposed to give
the
rabbi.
You gave him the gift.
You know, what? This was a Jew. A Jew who was coming to sell the chametz and everything. Okay, but over here it said that's over here the let's finish this up. I want to go to the minog. So that's what he says over here in this halacha of Avolufima Daha the Taz writes. Okay, it's the first wide line in the Mishnah Bura. Im Sacharakam Milmeis V'Nich Yoyresh Ein Moel Ma'ase Sacharim Ani Moyresh. Diyos Nesvalo Koyach Atzchius Tocha Afilu B'Chayim Motzim L'Mhadibei Ad Kan Lishoynei V'Zel Lishitah. So this is the Taz's opinion. The Mishnah says that we don't paskin like the Taz. If the guy dies, the child must honor the father's contract. Doesn't matter. So that is the psak of the Mishnah Berurah that with the child, or it's the child must honor the contract. Miu, there is one exception. But let's say there was no set time, there was no contract. The father rented the reshus to makayim stam, did not specify a time, and then the father died. Then mistavra, then the nispatel the melaskius chudivayatas. If the Yerush wants to continue to shrats the Bemesh HaSavim, it doesn't matter if it's Levhani Ad Shia Suvi Yitzchim Menes. The bottom line is, according to the Mishnah Pesach Halacha is that if the father rented his rights in the courtyard to the Jews stam, without a set time, and then the guy dies, it's over. The contract has been, it's over, and even if the child, the non-Jewish child, wants to continue, it does not matter. A new Schiras Smokon must take place. And once you make a new Schiras Makom, you have to renew the Erev itself. But let's say with the father, you specify the Zman, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, and the father dies. The bottom line, according to the Mishnah Berurah, we paskin that it continues. The child is mechuyev, the non-Jewish child has to honor the contract of the father, even if he doesn't want it, it's too bad for him. And the right to carry in the courtyard remain true until the time of the contract ends. So we'll stop here with, where are we up to? I remember we're up to Ches. Okay, up to Ches. Okay, for today's minute.
A guy with a Yiddish car.
As a kid, he was a Shabbos man.
Okay, today's minute.